Red Dwarf, Season 6, Episode 6. Out of time. Shot of Starbuck moving through space. Midsection. Rimmer in his blue hard light uniform walks into the midsection just off the cockpit. The rest of the crew are sitting at the table.
Gentlemen, thank you for attending the meeting. Now, let me begin by saying that it can't have escaped anyone's attention that things have been getting rather strained around here of late. It's no secret that morale is on the floor. We've lost all trace of Red Dwarf, tempers are strained, and supplies are low. So, I've decided, if it's alright with you, to appoint myself morale officer and set myself the task of raising the spirits and improving the atmosphere all round. Now, to kick off, I thought it would be productive if we all met once a week and have a coffee or a beer, whatever's your poison, and get any problems we may have off our chests. Any objections?
Lister and Cat look at each other and agree.
Sounds like a very good idea, sir.
Well, as it's week one, why don't I start? Do you know what it is about Lister that really makes me want to puke? That really makes me want to stab him in both eyes with an ice pick? Everything, that's what. Especially his goat-awful jerky jerple-faced optimism. And as for the cat, what an unbelievable jit. And Crichton, if he doesn't change pronto, I swear I'll attach jump leads to his nipple nuts and fry him like a Cajun catfish. Well, I think that's cleared the air. I don't know about you, but I certainly feel better. And thank you for your contributions, gentlemen. See you at next week's morale meeting.
Marvelous.
Goes up the stairs.
Good meeting. What's eating him?
Well, I'm no psychologist, sir, but maybe the bleak, lonely, pointless emptiness of our hopeless feudal predicament is beginning to get to him.
You can always tell when he's tense. The way he scrunches up a cup and throws it in a bin. And we're not talking styrofoam here. We're talking enamel.
And he attacked me with that fridge.
What happened?
He just wrenched it off the wall and tried to insert it in me.
What did you do to upset him?
Absolutely nothing. I was just sitting there minding my own business, plucking out my lengthier nostril hairs with a pair of cooking tongs.
Extraordinary. It's so unprovoked.
The guy is so touchy. If I tried to force-feed you a refrigerator every time you did something gross, you'd have to go on a fridge-free diet.
You know what the problem is. Every day it's the same old slog in deep space. No variety. Take Christmas. What did we do Christmas Day?
You remember, sir. Christmas Day, we were attacked by that pan-dimensional liquid beast from the Makakon cluster.
Maybe that wasn't such a great example. I'm trying to say our lives are dull, repetitive. We never take time out to smell the roses. We never celebrate anything.
We got nothing to celebrate with, bud.
Oh, not true, sir. There's a whole case of that wine I brewed out of urine resic, just lying there, practically untouched.
Call me pretentious if you like, but for me, a truly great wine should not leave you with a mustache that you can only remove with turps.
An alarm sounds.
Autopilot alert.
They hurry toward the cockpit. Rimmer runs down the stairs to join him. Cockpit. They hurry to their usual seats in the cockpit, Lister and Cat in the front, Rimmer and Crichton in the back.
Storm front ahead. Switching to manual.
It's a big one. Too late to go round. It's right on us.
Stellar fog, tightly packed particles from an exploded supernova. Our scanners won't be able to penetrate more than a few meters.
Shot of Starbuck entering the large dust cloud. Back to the cockpit.
Slowing to minimum.
Gentlemen, absolute concentration till we get through this squall. There could be anything lurking out there.
Don't worry, bud. If there's anything out there, we'll spot it.
We see a quick jobbing effect, with the camera seeming to come towards the crew and then away again, while the crew are thrown about in their seats. Sparks come out of Lister's console. They hit his right shoulder and we can see his jacket rip.
Anyone hurt?
No, but my pride sure needs mouth-to-mouth.
Crichton hurries over to the unconscious Lister.
Mr. Lister, sir. He's out cold.
All stop. Let's get him up to the ops room.
Ops room. Lister is unconscious on the observation table. Crichton is cutting the skin on Lister's injured right upper arm with a pair of operating scissors. Rimmer and Cat stand nearby.
How is he?
Not good, sir. Perhaps you'd better look away. I know you can't stand the sight of blood.
Don't worry, Crichton. It's okay when it's Lister's.
Impossible.
Draws back in surprise.
What?
Look.
A close-up of Lister's arm. Under the skin, we can see wires and flashing lights.
Mister, Lister is a droid.
He's a what?
There's no doubt about it. He's entirely mechanical, a 3000 series. Made in Taiwan. Look, he has a 24-hour call-out number.
I'm sorry, I'm not buying this. I mean, who created him and why? And what's his mission? To rid the universe of Chicken Vindaloo.
This doesn't tie up. If he wasn't human, I'd have known by his scent.
X-rays confirm it.
Crichton holds up an X-ray. On one side is the outline of a human body. On the other side is what looks like the machinery from a generator.
This is so strange. Mister, Lister's always been an icon of mine, and now I found he's an earlier model, and technically I outrank him.
An earlier model? Then how come he looks so much more sophisticated than you?
Sir, just because I have a head shaped like a freak formation of mashed potatoes does not mean that I am unsophisticated.
Alright then, why does he look more realistically human?
Humans have always found exact duplicates rather disturbing, sir. The 3000 series was notoriously unpopular. Most of them were recalled. A few slipped the net and went undercover to make new lives in society.
Do you think he knows?
Unlikely. He probably reprogrammed his own memory to escape detection.
This is going to crack him up, devastate him. Who's going to tell him?
I'll write you into my will if you let it be me.
I suggest you leave this to me, sirs. I'll have a talk with him droid to droid.
Okay. We'll get going and try to get out of this damn fog before it drains our solar batteries.
Rimmer and Cat leave as Lister revives.
What happened? What hit us?
Something in the stellar fog, sir, didn't show up on the scans. Sir, do you remember who your parents were?
Crichton, you know I don't. I was found under a pool table in a box.
Did anyone ever tell you what was written on that box? Were the words kid or paint before assembly written on the side? It's just that while you were under, we discovered something rather disturbing about you.
It's that tattoo on the inner thigh, isn't it? Well, I don't really love Peterson. He just got me so drunk that I didn't know what I was doing.
It's not the tattoo, sir. There's no easy way of breaking this gently. I'm afraid, sir, you are not human. You're a droid.
I'm a what?
You're a mechanical 3000 series. Technically subordinate to me.
What does this all mean?
Well, in broad terms, I get the front seat in the cockpit, and you're in charge of the laundry.
Crichton hands Lister a basket of dirty laundry.
And I want to see creases.
Crichton, have a heart, man. I'm in major stress-related shock here. Emotional overload.
You're a droid. You don't have real emotions. It's just synth shock. Now stop thinking like a human and go about your duties.
Crichton, why are you being so heartless?
Fine, I'll tell you. You encouraged me to break my programming and ape human behavior. Now I find out you know better than I. But worst of all, the most bitter pill to swallow, for 4 long years, I had to hand scrub the gussets of your longjohns. Now, unless you want to wallow in the eternal fires of Silicon Hell, I suggest you bring a tray of refreshments up to the cockpit, pronto.
Crichton leaves. Lister looks confused but resigned to his new role. He smells a sock from the basket, and the smell makes him turn quickly away. Cockpit. Rimmer and Cat are in their regular seats. Crichton is in Lister's seat. They hit another jolt.
What was the jolt?
It's a mystery, but nothing on the scanners, nothing on visual.
It's like we've gone through some sort of energy pocket. Still, it looks like we're out of it now.
Better run a cross-check and see if this phenomena is mentioned in any of our databases.
Enter Lister with a plate. The plate has 3 cups and a pile of sandwiches.
T-all. Sorry I took so long, but I didn't know where anything was.
Let me see that tray, please.
Why?
That's why, Mister. Lister, sir, you call those triangular sandwiches. Did you use a Z-SQUARE? I think not. And the chocolate fingers display is laughable. Don't just pile them higgledy-piggledy onto the plate. Make them into an attractive interlaced log cabin structure or something. This will just not do. Kindly return to the gallery and start again.
Okay, sir.
Mumbling.
This doesn't feel right, not right at all.
Lister leaves.
What a charlatan all these years.
Any idea what hit us yet?
Wait, here's something.
Checks computer.
Reports of artificial stellar fogs which contain reality minefields.
Reality what?
Bubbles or pockets of unreality which when encountered create false realities designed to disorient and drive off potential lures.
From what?
It's a defense device fitted to space core test ships which are fitted with prototype drives so awesome in their power that they have to be safeguarded at all costs.
So we just crashed through an unreality pocket.
Which created a false reality making us believe Mr. Lister was oh my.
There is a long pause while Crichton realizes what he's done. He nervously twiddles his fingers in an impression of Stan Laurel.
You mean he's not a-
No.
Lister enters again. This time the tray has a very elaborate log cabin made from chocolate bars. There are even a green tree and fence.
He's upstairs.
Sir,
What do you think of the picket fence?
Crichton hides his face in shame.
I'm not happy with it myself. But I'll go away and do it again if you want.
Sir, may I see your arm?
Through the rip in Lister's jacket can be seen undamaged skin.
Smag. It looks normal. Human. Someone else tell him.
Looking as if he could burst into tears.
I've got gussets to scrub.
Shot of Starbuck moving through the fog. cockpit. Lister is back in his seat. Rimmer and Kev are in their seats. Enter Crichton with a can of beer on a tray. Lister gives him the cold shoulder.
I wondered if you felt like a nice cold beer, sir.
Lister takes the beer but gives Crichton a look cold enough to freeze Crichton's circuits. Frantic voice.
Oh, sir, how many times can I apologize? I have offered to mince myself. What more can I do?
Don't worry. I'll think of something probably involving a bowl of water, a poker, a recharge socket, and 4,000 volts of direct current.
Sounding very worried.
Oh.
Takes his seat.
This fog's getting worse. I say reverse out now before it's too late.
I hate to agree with old laundry chute nostrils, but he has got a point. The scanners are out and my smell range is practically zero.
Starbuck is small. We can probably pick our way through without hitting any more unreality bubbles. Someone's gone to plenty big trouble to keep spacecraft out of here, and it's got to be worth finding out why.
But how can we guarantee we'll?
They hit another bubble jolt.
We hit one.
We hit one.
That's what I said.
Where's the cat?
I'm here.
They've taken the cat. He's gone.
I'm not gone. I'm here.
Someone just erased him from existence.
Then how can we still remember him?
Remember who?
I don't remember.
Hey, buds, don't do this to me. You can't forget me. I'm unforgettable.
I don't get this. We're passing through an unreality pocket and everything's normal.
What do you mean everything's normal? I feel invisible.
This doesn't make any sense. All systems check. The three of us are here as normal.
The four of us. There's four of us. Look, I'm here. Can't you hear me? Can't you feel me?
Cat shakes Lister.
We're getting some an exclamation point.
Passing back into normal space.
They hit another jolt. Lister realizes Cat is shaking him by the shoulder.
What are you doing?
Can you see me?
Of course I can see ya.
You all forgot who I was. Don't you remember? This is too weird in here. Let's quit while we can.
What we have to do is keep our heads.
Another jolt. This time, their heads change. Lister's head becomes that of a wolf, Cat becomes a deer, Rimmer a fox, and Crichton a rooster.
Boy, this is worse than triple strength catnip.
Another jolt returns them to normal.
The pockets are getting denser and closer together. We're never going to.
Another jolt. Starbuck disappears. All that is left is the crew and their chairs moving through space.
Make it.
We can't take much more of this.
Well, just ignore it. All these unreality pockets are designed to make you feel absurd and disoriented.
He's right. Let's just keep going and we'll get out the other side.
Another joke and they're again back to normal.
All ahead, stop. We have got to talk. Crichton, how far would you say it is to the epicenter?
At our current speed, about another 3 days, sir.
Resigned.
Okay, you win. Let's get out of here.
Perhaps there is one possibility.
Ops room. Lister and Kev are lying on the lower bunk. Crichton finishes pushing numbers on the cryogenic panel.
That's it. I've installed a temporary stasis seal on both deep sleep units, so in theory at least, time will be frozen, and neither reality nor unreality will be able to penetrate.
See you in 3 days.
The bunk rises. Shug of Starbuck leaving the fog. It approaches a huge space station. Ops room. Lister leaves the bunk and joins Rimmer and Crichton at the computer.
Where are we? Did we make it?
We successfully penetrated the minefield, sir. We're through to the epicenter.
So what was it protecting?
Derelicts. According to the computer, it's from the 28th century. And it's capable of time travel? Crew.
All dead. This was the maiden voyage. They contracted an influenza virus on an incursion to the 20th century. Before they died, they programmed the autopilot for deep space and generated the minefield to prevent the machine from falling into the wrong hands.
Does this mean what I think it means? We orbit, strip out the drive.
Starbuck engine room. The crew are grouped around the newly installed time drive.
And bingo, we've got ourselves a time machine.
Let's see if the sucker works.
Crichton taps instructions into a remote control. Cockpit.
Sirs, choose any year.
Since we can't guarantee this time drive is going to function properly, I suggest we select a neutral time period for our first jaunt.
He's got a point. Let's go to someplace nice and safe and dull. How about 1422?
How about 1421?
What's the difference?
No difference. I just wanted to make it look like I was paying attention.
Load 1421, Crichton.
1421 loaded, sir. August 17th. Engaging the time drive.
Crichton pushes buttons on the remote control. The screen is filled with a flash of red light.
Hey, we did it.
Indeed we did. All the ship's chronometers indicate that this is August the 16th, in the year 1421, just one day out.
Give us visual. Let's see what it's like out there.
Okay, punching it up.
Quick shot of empty boring space. Back to the cockpit.
Again? We're still where we were.
Of course. We're still in deep space, sir. Only now we're in deep space in the 15th century. Isn't it wonderful?
So we're still 3 million years away from Earth?
Well, yeah.
Taking her back to the present.
Keeping. Engaged.
Flash of red light again.
So forgive me if I'm being thicker than the offspring of a village idiot and a TV weather girl, but what exactly was the point of that little exercise? Fun though it was drinking in the heavy medieval atmosphere of pre-Renaissance deep space, the drive is next to useless, yes.
Well, at the moment, yes, but should we ever acquire a faster-than-light drive, we will have the combination to travel anywhere and anyone.
Picking up a craft.
He's right. Some kind of craft. Small. Here it comes.
It's a Jupiter Mining Corporation Corsign. Some kind of transport vehicle. Color green. Lifeforms for craft name STARBUG?
Call me crazy, but that all sounds weirdly familiar. Who is it?
Shug of Starbuck moving through space. Cockpit.
It's us from the future. Hey. Incoming SOS message.
Don't punch it up. Close comm.
Why?
If that vessel is this vessel, sir, it almost certainly contains our future selves. The implications of making contact could be devastating. The human brain is not designed to cope with knowing its own future.
Yeah, but Crichton, obviously we've been in some kind of major trouble. Otherwise we wouldn't have shown up.
No, Crichton's got a point. It's too dangerous to make contact. What if we discover that one of us is dead? Who could handle that?
We all could if it was you.
They're trying us again. Come on, they're in trouble. We can't just leave them out to dry.
Well, in that case, sir, I suggest that I am left alone to make contact. I can give them whatever assistance they require, then erase my memory of the entire event.
Shug of both Starbucks side by side in space. Crichton is now alone in the cockpit.
Open comm. Present Starbuck calling future Starbuck. We are ready to communicate.
Midsection. Crichton walks in from cockpit to join his crewmates.
Well, how did it go? Everything okay?
Very sadly.
Mr. Lister, sir.
Hugs Lister.
I love you. You know that, don't you? I'd hate you to go anywhere without knowing that, sir.
After a shocked and worried pause.
So what's the SP, Crits? Can you tell us anything?
A little, sir. They are indeed our future selves from some 15 years hence. Close to tears, what a senseless waste.
Listen, if something happens to me, I want to know.
All I am allowed to divulge is that their time drive has developed a fault, and they can only travel forward. They jumped to a period where they knew we would be in order to copy some components from our own drive.
So am I actually going to get to meet me? My knees have turned to jelly.
Nobody will be meeting anybody. You must be sealed in the upper deck before they set a space boot on board.
So when are they coming?
Immediately. I'll serve your supper in the ops room.
Very affectionately to Lister.
I thought I'd whip you up a nice little curry with jam roly poly and a big jug of chilled margarita.
They're all my favorites.
Almost bursting into tears again, I know.
How can we have margaritas? I thought we were out of tequila.
I put a little miniature bottle aside, sir, for no particular reason, and I thought that since today had no special significance, it would be appropriate to...
Just go, Crichton.
Thank you, sir.
Crichton leaves the room. Out of shot, we can hear him finally break down and cry. Kitchen. Crichton is sadly caressing a bowl and cup.
His favorite bowl, his little cup, the tin opener he uses to pick his ears clean with.
Enter Lister.
Everything okay?
Oh, yup, yup. Those darn onions get you every time.
What onions?
Ah, the onions I'm about to peel. I always get a little emotional when I have to deprive an onion of its skin.
Don't nix on me, man. Tell me the truth. I die, don't I? I mean, I'm dead, aren't I? I don't make it.
All I'm at liberty to disclose, sir, is that all four members of the Starbuck crew will be boarding this vessel.
Yeah, but I'm not amongst them, right?
One of the number is called Dave Lister. Now, you'll have to excuse me. I've already said too much.
Hang on a minute. I'm really confused now. Are you saying I survive?
I can say no more. Please, let us not squabble on this of all days.
Starts to pour chilies into the blender.
Careful with those chilies, Crichton. At the rate you're going, there'll be none left for tomorrow.
Lister leaves the room. Crichton, barely holding back the tears, pours the rest of the chilies into the blender. Ops room. Lister is hooking a cable to the Metascan. It may look like a complicated looking machine, but is actually just a pair of binoculars with a big box built around it. Rimmer and Cat look on.
Look, whatever it is, there's nothing you can do about it. It's fate.
I just don't get it. Am I dead or am I alive? If I'm dead, how can I come on board?
What precisely are you doing, bud?
I'm hacking into the security cameras. Crichton turned off all the monitors, so I'm raking up the Metascan. When those Johnnies come on board, I want to see him.
Midsection. Into intercom.
Docking complete. Opening airlock doors. Gentlemen, welcome aboard.
The outer airlock door opens. The camera shows three pairs of legs entering the ship. Crichton is standing by the inner airlock door. It opens. Enter future Rimmer. But this Rimmer is middle-aged, graying hair, a mustache and big bushy eyebrows. He is fat, with his stomach bulging out the bottom of his two-shirt jacket. He is wearing very gaudy clothing, bright yellow jacket and bright orange pants. Note, remember Rimmer World, where Rimmer looked the same after 300 years? Either holograms do age in appearance when they become lazy and wealthed, or Rimmer deliberately reprogrammed his appearance. Future Rimmer disdainfully examines the ship. Crichton looks at Rimmer in shock.
Ah, mister. Rimmer, sir, come in, come in.
Did we actually used to live like this? What a good awful depressing little hole.
Enter Future Cat. He has long graying hair, but is bald on top. He is wearing black pants and shirt, and a plaid red and black jacket.
We're used to the good things in life now, bud.
Future Cat combs his hair. A large piece gets combed out, so he embarrassedly tries to fit it onto his bald spot. Enter Future Crichton. He has a cheap toupee and fake eyebrows. He is wearing a blue leisure suit and a turtleneck sweater. He is carrying something covered by a black cloth.
Are you really me? Will you take a look at him? Did I really used to look that goofy? What is that you have on your head? I hope you have a quarantine license for it. We're time travelers now, and a lot of our business involves going back in history. I have to look incognito. Frankly, I can't afford going around looking like I've swapped heads with a damaged crash dummy. I rather think we're overstepping the bounds of agreed conversation here. Mister. Lister, did you bring him?
Future Crichton puts the object on the table and removes the cloth. It is a jar. Inside the jar is a glowing brain attached to electrodes.
Sir, you look terrific. I was expecting something much worse.
Don't worry about me, Crits. I'm fine. Absolutely dandy.
Well, blow me. You've hardly changed at all. If I wasn't told about the accident, I don't think I'd even have noticed.
Ops room. Lister is peering into the binoculars part of the mediscan.
Yo, we're in. Oh my god. Look at Rimmer.
Well, I can't have changed much. I'm a hologram.
Wrong. You're 2 meals away from being a sumo wrestler. Let me see.
Am I there?
Oh yes.
What do I look like?
I can't actually see quite clearly. The light is reflecting from off the top of your head.
Covers the binoculars and blinks his eyes to clear them.
What are you talking about?
Ha ha. You're as bald as a plucked chicken, man.
Let me see. Let me see.
Wait, wait. I want to see if I'm there. I don't seem to be there. Just you two, Crichton.
Looks up in deep shock. Oh my god.
What? What is it?
Lister moves to the side, still with that open-mouthed look of shock. Rimmer looks into the binoculars.
Ah, dear.
What? Is he fat?
Far from it. He's lost a bit of weight, actually. Actually, he's lost quite a bit of everything.
What do I do to end up like that?
Cat takes over the binoculars.
That's tragic. That is the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Looks up in dismay.
What happened to my butt? Buddy, you could park a plane in that crease.
So what if you're fat and bald? That's what happens when you get older. Look at me. I'm a brain in a jar.
Self, 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 self.
We've got to find out what's going on.
Lister turns a knob and the conversation in the midsection can be heard. Midsection. The future crew are sitting around the table. Crichton pours them some wine.
We've been saving it for a special occasion. And what could be more special than this? To the future. To the past.
The future crew take a sip and then immediately spit it out in disgust.
This is poison, bud.
Haven't you anything better than this hogwash? We're used to the best.
Crichton, we're epicures now. We travel through history enjoying the very best time has to offer.
Dolphin sweetmeats, roast suckling elephants, baby seal hearts stuffed with dove pate. Food fit for emperors.
We socialize with all of the greatest figures in history. The Habsburgs, the Borgias.
Why, only last week, Louis XVI threw a banquet especially in our honor.
The man is a complete delight. Urbane, witty, charming.
He was an idiotic despot who lived in the most obscene luxury while the working classes starved in abject poverty.
Well, we certainly didn't see any of that while we were there.
And his wife's an absolute cutie.
I think they're our favorite hosts, if you don't count the Hitlers.
The WHO question mark.
Providing you avoid talking politics, they're an absolute hoot.
You're good friends with the HITLERS question mark. It's just a social thing. We don't talk about his work. We just have a few laughs, play canasta, and enjoy the odd game of mixed doubles with the Gorings. I don't believe what I'm hearing.
Look, you have to understand. We travel back and forth throughout the whole of history, and naturally we want to sample the best of everything. It's just a bit unfortunate that the finest things tend to be in the possession of people who are judged to be a bit dodgy.
Hermann Göring is a bit dodgy. What has become of you all? You've all abandoned your morals, been seduced by power and wealth. All you're interested in now is indulging your carnal desires.
And could we tell you some stories about that exclamation point?
The future crew all left.
I don't recognize any of you. You're just immoral self-serving scum, freeloading your way through history. Good grief. I can't believe I used to be such a stuck-up pompous prig.
The door to the stairs can be heard being blown off its hinges. Lister comes down the stairs, holding a bazookoid, which he points at the future crew. He is followed by Rimmer and Cat.
Okay, that's it. You've got 2 minutes to get off the ship. I don't know how we became you, but I sure as hell don't intend to help you carry on doing what you're doing.
But we need to examine the calibration on your time drive's Maxic factor.
That's 1:40.
Shooting us would be like killing himself in the future. He won't do it.
What have I got to lose? I'm in a jar.
Gentlemen, let's put an end to this, why don't we? Stands up.
But without the calibration date, we'll be stranded out here in the middle of nowhere.
50 seconds.
Come on, let's go.
Future Crichton grabs Future Lister's jar and the Future crew head through the airlock. Future Rimmer pauses at the airlock.
You'll have changed your mind when you've thought it through. You are destined to become us, and there is nothing you can do about it. In the end, you'll help us.
Lister fires at the wall just above Future Rimmer.
20 seconds. Into the airlock and jet.
Future Rimmer flashes a quick look of anger and leaves. Shot of Future Starbuck flying away from the side of the present Starbuck. Shot of Future Starbuck starting to curve in its flight. Cockpit. The crew are in their seats.
I knew it would be a mistake to see the future. Now our whole lives will be colored by the fact that we're going to end up becoming people we despise.
Threat warning. Vessel off the stern. They've got a missile lock on us.
Our future selves are attacking us.
They're nuts.
The crew experience a jolt exactly the same type of jolt as when they enter or leave an unreality pocket.
Direct hit. The gyroscope's out.
They're trying to disable us.
Another lock. Incoming message.
Future Rimmer's face appears on the view screen.
Gentlemen, we have no intention of being deprived of the opulence and luxury the time drive provides. Either you give us access to the data we require, or be prepared to be blasted out of the sky.
But if you kill us, you'll have ceased to exist.
Better that than to be forced to live like you, like rats trapped together, marooned in deep space. Your answer. 30 seconds. View screen message ends.
So what do we do?
Have we got any chance of winning?
The craft has greatly upgraded. We have no chance whatsoever.
Then I say fight.
Dramatic chord of music.
Mr. Rimmer.
Better dead than smack.
Cheers. Cat.
Better dead than sofacite butt.
Crichton.
Better anything than that toupee.
Shields up. Arming lasers.
Bringing her around.
Target acquired.
Locking on. Firing. Pushes button.
Direct hit.
Starboard thrusters. Nice shooting, sir.
Bringing her around to reserve.
Threat warning. They've got a lock on us.
I'm going for the main fuel tank.
They're in your sight.
Locked on. Fire.
Lister's console blows up, and Lister is showered in sparks. He is sent flying to the floor near Crichton. This time when they are hit, they do not experience the same jolting effect.
Mr. Lister.
Is he okay?
Command error in phoneme, 45 in shock.
He's dead, sir.
The hull's gonna go. We'll all be dead in a minute.
Another explosion. Cat is sent flying on top of Crichton's console. Again, the jolting effect is absent.
C-A-T exclamation point.
Dead, but there may be.
Another explosion sends Crichton flying. Still no jolting. A very concerned Rimmer hurries to Crichton's body.
K-R-Y-T-E-N question mark. There may be a what? A way out of this. Is that what you were gonna say? Speak, Crichton. How can we change what's H-A-P-P-E-N-I-N-G question mark?
A look of realization comes over his face. While Starbuck is being rocked with explosions, he hurries to the midsection where he grabs the bazookoid. He kicks open a smashed door and runs through the ship. Avoiding the falling pieces of ceiling, he arrives at the engine room. He takes aim at the time drive and pulls the trigger on the bazookoid. The time drive is destroyed. Shot of Starbuck moving through space. A laser blast hits it and it is completely destroyed. Caption, to be continued, the end. Well, this is my first Red Dwarf production, hope it was okay. I tried to add some stuff to the script to make it more understandable and all. If you find any problems, want to comment or whatever, please email me at big_vi_guy@hotmail.com, which is also my MSN address. Thanks.